Church, it's so great to be with you here tonight. It's just great to come into God's house. And, you know, as we were just singing, show me your ways. Show me your ways, oh God. How often do we truly open ourselves up for God to say, show me your ways. Show me who you are. Show me how you will be. Show me how you move in our lives. Well, I will tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. God can reach us wherever we're at. And he moves in a way that he's showed me something that I've been praying for NSB, the campus down there, to be open. And I've been praying that it's God's timing. Little did I know when I was praying for God's timing, I was praying for patience. And you know what they say about praying for patience, right? Don't do it. And isn't it funny that we as Christians are so afraid to pray for God's patience? We're afraid to pray for our patience so that God says, just be still and know that I am God. The Ten Commandments has put us back into the beginning of the first five, talking about the relationship that we have with God. And then the last five is about the relationship we have with each other and how we work with each other. Well, today's the day that we're probably all guilty of at some point in time. Lying, correct? Has anybody ever not lied in here? Okay, no hands, good. I didn't put mine up, you understand that. It is a struggle that we constantly have. So I got a couple of stats for you. On average, there are four times a day that you lie. Six times a day, actually, men lie, and three times a day, women lie. So it averages out to be that. In your lifetime, you will actually lie over 100,000 times in your life. Is that not mind-boggling? Is that not crazy? Is it not crazy to think about the dumb things that we truly lie about? Those times are just crazy to me. Well, guess what? There was once a church that was going to do a fundraiser. And in that fundraiser, they wanted to sell Bibles. So they tasked the youth group with selling those Bibles. And so as they went out, the youth group went out to sell these Bibles door to door, kind of like the old days. And so they'd go up and knock on the door and ask, do they want to buy a Bible or come back? So they came back the next week. And when they did, the youth minister asked Betty, said, Betty, how many did you sell? I said, well, I sold five. And she was like, well, great job, Betty. I'm super proud of you. You did a great job with that. Next person came up and the guy asked him, the youth pastor said, how many did you sell, Sam? Sam said, I sold 10. And he was like, Sam, great job, I'm proud of you. And then the last guy came up and he said, Billy, how many did you sell? And he said, well, sir, I sold 120. And he said, you sold 120 Bibles? He said, how did you do that? He said, I just went up to the door and I knocked, and I'd say, would you like to buy a Bible or would you like me to read it to you? Well, church, I want to tell you, in that example, the world would tell you you're not going to ever amount to anything. And you're not going to be anybody because you have a speech problem. I stand before you today to tell you how good my God is. I actually had a speech problem, and I went to speech therapy as a little kid. I mess up every day when I talk, but God healed me from that speech impediment that I had. And that's the movement of God that he can do. Amen to God and praise Jesus for that. Because the world will tell you, you are nothing, you will never be anything. But God says, I put you here for a purpose, and that purpose is to praise and to worship me and to spread my word everywhere that you go. And church, do you believe that today? Do you understand that your God lives and he's moving today? He is our God. He is our King. And church, it's time to start living like it. Will you stand with me, please? Out of respect for God's word. Today's scripture is a quick one. It's from Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. It says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You may be seated. Church, when we look at this, we a lot of times take this into the court of law. And as this is saying, what does it say when you go in to the court setting? You said, do you swear upon the Bible to tell you the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Well, scripture tells us, let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes. Stand on the word and stand on what is true. But it's also saying in the scripture, as we look through the translations, as don't lie in court, but also don't lie outside of court. Because we miss, whenever we start lying, what it does to the people that we're around. Lying started from the very beginning of time. Who was the first liar that was ever here? Satan. He lied to Adam and Eve in the garden, right? They said, eat this fruit, nothing will happen. God doesn't care. God specifically said, you can do anything but this. And what do we do as humans? We go against God. Look at Joseph's brothers. They were jealous, so they lied about Joseph. So he would be exiled, so he'd be pushed out. We can go through scenario after scenario. David, Ananias and Sapphira. You can go through Cain and Abel. We can go all through scripture at all the lies that are told over and over and over again. And the reality is we as human natures still don't get it. The first liar was the lies of Satan. The lies of Satan. So look at this scripture with me. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, you belong to your father, the devil. You understand that? It's already calling you out. It's saying you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, and he is what? The father of lies. Church, we have to understand what Satan is and what his intent is. He will stop at no thing so that you can go and be destroyed and be taken out of the grips of Christ. Church, we have to understand what Satan's really trying to do. We have to understand what his tactics are. And we as church talk about all the time and how we get tempted and how we do things. And a lot of times we put out that image of what Christ looks like, and we put out that image of what Satan looks like. And what do we say Satan looks like? He's walking around with a pitchfork. He's walking out with the horns. He's all decked out in red and all these other things. That's not Satan. Satan is more appealing than ever. He is there where you can touch it, where you can feel it, where you can see it, and you're like, I want this because this gives me gratification for the moment. But what happens next? We get pulled away from our Heavenly Father. If we look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and this is where the end is, and this is where it all comes back, and this is what our hope is. It says, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called what? The devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He will be hurled out of the earth and his angels with him. Church, this is Revelation. This is the end times where he's saying everything. When Satan comes and he thinks he's all powerful and he has full control, what's going to happen? Christ is going to throw him out because he can hold nothing to our Heavenly Father. He's going to cast him out of his presence because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Satan cannot stand up to him because our God is real and he is alive. Do you believe the lies that Satan is constantly giving you? Do you believe the things that are going on? Satan presents himself in many different ways. The next way that he presents himself is the lies of the world. How good, how great, how awesome are you? You're a nobody. You'll never be anything. I would tell you this, school is an absolute struggle of mine. It was like nails on a chalkboard. I was able to squeeze a 4-year degree into 5 years. Figure that out. 4-year degree into 5 years. Okay, we awake, all right. It was hard because every time that I would take a test, I would study for something. Many times over and over again, I would fail or I would barely skirt by. Do you know what? Never once is God gonna look at my report card from college to say, you're approved or not. He looks to say, how's your heart? Do you love me? Do you care for me? Proverbs 29, verse 24 says, the accomplice of the thieves and their own enemies, and they will put you under the oath of dare not testify. Proverbs 19, 28 says, a corrupt witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. Church, through Old Testament and New Testament, we're constantly seeing what a liar does and what a liar will do, how there is no justice in that. And church, the world is a crazy, rude, unhealthy place. And if I can share a story with you the other day that happened to me, I was on my way here like 2 weeks ago, and I was actually coming up to do communion meditation for the Tuesday morning service. And I was running low on gas. So I pulled into the racetrack that was over here off of LPGA. And when I pulled into the racetrack there, I was getting gas, and I heard this commotion happen. I heard all this noise, and I heard this screaming and yelling. And so, of course, it got my attention. I turned around and looked. And can I be real with you for a second? I looked up, and I saw this lady standing on the roof, ready to jump off to her death. And the sad part was, is here's this lady that's just struggling, that's hurting, that's just ready to just be over with. And I looked around at all these people that were watching her, videoing her. And church, this is what scares me, is this world is full of people that don't care about you or me. And they didn't care about that lady. And all I knew to do was to lift her up in prayer. I didn't know this lady at all. And all I could do was pray over this scene and say, God, please help her. Whatever it is, let the help get here. And about that time, all the cops came and they started doing it. Well, all I could do was pray and I left. It bothered me inside. And I said, what else could I have done? This woman was hurting so bad. And all these people only cared to just see what was happening to her, what she was going to do, rather than where her real pain was. Church, I do believe that God used cops that day, our police force, to be able to talk that lady down to get the help that she needs. They were able to get her off of the roof and get her somewhere where she could get help. And that is the God that we serve. God created us to love one another, to care for one another, and not lie to one another. To be there to support one another, and not to sit there and look at you and say, oh, this is a cool YouTube moment. But to say, I hurt with you. I cry with you. I want to be there for you. So, church, I have to ask you today, do you care about the people that you're around? Are you allowing Satan to lie to you? Proverbs 25, verse 18 says, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is no one going to give false testimony against a neighbor. Church, do you stand? Are you there to support your neighbor? Are you there to support one another? Are you there constantly putting each other down? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you encouraged somebody opposed to put them down? We live in a social media world. We live in a world that everything's done through the phone. We constantly see things that people think that they can put out this diary on Facebook and nobody else is going to see it. I'm going to tell you a little story that happened to me with that here in a little bit. But there was once a guy that came out into a church, and he was guest speaking at a church, and he came up and he said, I went by a bookstore. And as I went by that bookstore, I went and I saw a book of spells. And so he opened up this book of spells in church and started reading it to people and said, I want to read some of these and just see how they land on you. Well, immediately the guy just put down the book and he said, look, I'm not going to read a book of spells, because some of you are worried about that. I even saw some in here with your face like, I don't know about that. But church, day in and day out, you're afraid that somebody's going to read a book of spells and put a darkness over this room. But we come in and read the Word of God day in and day out, and we expect nothing to change out of us. Church, the Word of God is alive and active, and it's there to penetrate. It's there to change. It's there to move. And church, we're here today not to walk out of here the same person, to walk out of somebody different, somebody that's been called by Jesus Christ to live a life for Jesus and to spread the love and to spread the Word of God to each other. Church, love your neighbors. Don't lie to your neighbors. If you're not encouraging them to come to church, if you're not sharing the Word of God with them, then you're lying to them. Church, over and over and over, this is an example of what churches in America look like. This would be the symbol of what God is. We put God into a box, and we think we've got it figured out of what God can and can't do. We think we've got it figured out of who's going to heaven and who's not. Church, we have no clue of how big God's grace is. Is your God in a box? Or does your God blow out the top of the box and expand bigger and bigger? Where is your God at today? We look at what the truth is, and the truth is when people come into the church and the lies of the church that happen, we look at what the church is doing or not, and unfortunately, I have to stand in front of you today and tell you, there are churches that are lying every single day that they preach the word of God. We do love, and we have a God of love. But the reality is there is a heaven, and there is a hell. If there was no hell, what would be the purpose of Jesus Christ? Think about it. Let's read this scripture, and then I want to share a story with you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last day. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than what? Lovers of God, which is what we were created to be." If we look at that, treacherous is betrayal, deception. That is what that word means of what we do to that. Well, the reality of it is there is a heaven and there's a hell. Well, the first time in my life, I'm 45 years old, I actually hit social media. I hit social media in a way that I was like, ugh, I don't like this. But in a way that I was like at the end, hey, it is what it is. There was a girl that was at, we've had a couple worship nights for NSB campus. And she had been to two of them. And the whole time I said, our whole mission is to spread the gospel, to help make it hard for people to go to hell. And she said, you know, I listened to this twice and I listened to what their mission is. And if I was told this or anybody else was told this that came in as a non-believer, then you know what I would do? I would just get up and walk out of that place because he's saying to save people, help save people from going to hell. Well, church, I don't apologize for that. You know why? Because the word of God says it. There is a heaven and there is a hell. If we don't be real with people, then what is there for people to change for? What is there for the world to change? What is there for the church to do? Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have been hurt by more people in the church than you have the world? Absolutely. Hands go up, because there's a lot of people in here, and if we're real about ourselves, we've been hurt by more people that we sit and worship with day in and day out than the people of this world. Church, this is supposed to be a place that is different, a place that's set aside, that's a place that is called by Christ, and that everything that happens in this is of Christ. And this is a hard reality for you to say. I don't know where you're at, but I can tell you this, that if you're looking for a church that has flawless, holy people, you're never gonna find it. Because a church is a place that's made for sinners. Not a God that comes to live inside of a box, but a God that's to destroy the box, to blow the box out, and to put his own son on that cross so that we can have eternal life with him. That's who God is. Now, church, the question is, are we doing the same? Are we forgiving people? Are we being judgmental? Are we being fake? Or are we not? You know, we think lying is a major problem. But when we get to the root of the problem of lying is not from our mouths. The problem with lying is from our hearts. And have you ever thought about how many times we lie to our family, to our friends, to people that we don't even know. And we think, well, I don't understand why they don't come to church. I don't get it. Do you know that every lie that we tell, it scars and it hurts our testimony for Christ? So we wonder why people don't come to church. It's because we're not living a life of Christ. We're not changing to be him. We're not saying, let me remove myself and God, take the words that come out of my mouth to be holy, to be pleasing, and to be pure as you've intended us to be. So let me ask you, do you live to tell the truth or do you want to tell a lie? There's a great movie out there called A Few Good Men. You guys remember that movie? It's a great older movie that was out. And it says, you want to know the truth? And Jack Nicholas responds back, you can't handle the truth. But church, when the truth comes out and it's in love, people feel that. Because that's not your love. That's God's love. That's his natural tendency of us reaching out to one another. He will give you the words. He will give you the encouragement to say, because the reality is, we don't always have to talk. Sometimes it's just to be there, to be a listening ear, or put an arm around somebody. Because guess what? None of us condemn someone else in here. Only Christ can judge. Amen, church? Proverbs 11, verse 9 says, with their mouth and godliness destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteousness escape. Church, we can escape that. We can run from what it is. We see in John chapter 16 and 17, the church is to be unified. The church is to be there to be a soul unit so that we can love and give God praise and glory. Build each other up, not tear each other down. Be there for one another and support one another and show people who God really is. The church, I've seen more of God out in the world than I have in churches. We have to start living and we have to start learning. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about God not being able to lie. So understand this, that our lies kill our witness. Now I want to tell you what the hope is. If we look at Psalms 115 verse 1, it says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because you love and of your faithfulness. Psalms 115 verse 1 was that. John 14, chapter 14, verse 6 and 7 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know me, him, and have seen him. Church, do we know him? Have we seen him? And then John 8, verse 32 says, then you will know the truth. And church, say this with me. The truth will what? The truth will set you free. If we're real with our life and we understand that God can't be contained to a box, we have to look and evaluate where we're at. So here's our life. So let's be honest. We get filled with many different things in our life. We get distracted. We get things. So we have work that happens in our life. We get finances that happen in our life. We get family that happen in our life and take up time. We get exercise. Well, for some of you, not me, right? It takes up time in our life. We worry about our neighbors sometimes. Well, we also worry about our health. Many times we sit there and get distracted with just house things that we have to do and we have to take care of. And then sometimes we get distracted with the other things of life that just come up in a day. And the truth is when we get to the end of our day of our life, we only have this little wedge for God. We are consumed by our own selfish desires and the lies that Satan tells us rather than how God intends us. Now, how does that change? If we turn it around and we understand that all of a sudden, this is not my life, this is God's life. That every single thing that happens in God's life is for what? God's glory and praise. So we can take the time with work and we use that to minister and to witness to people. We take the time with our friends to minister and witness with people. Guess what? Finances that we stress about all the time and we don't know how we're going to pay our bills, we give them to God and we say, God, we trust you with them. And we don't let it burden us. We spend time at exercising and we go to the gym and we're not so focused at pumping iron and lifting weights and running, but we look at the person beside of us and we just see, hey man, how are you doing? How are things? Let me be a witness to that person. You sit here and all of a sudden see, I've got a whole lot of time for everything else because there's one purpose in everything we do, and that's to focus on God and to give God the glory. So church, I want to ask you today, is your Christianity a wedge or is it a will? Understand this, a car doesn't run on a wedge, does it? It runs on a will. The kingdom of God moves by wills and by God moving, not by wedges. Father, we come to you today. Lord, we open our hearts and we open our minds to, first off, be real. To be real with where we struggle, to be real with what where we fall short. But Father, I ask that you give us clarity and you give us a heart that will see all in the ways that you see. That Father, that we understand Satan wants to just destroy us. But Father, at the end of the day, Satan cannot stand against you. You will reign, you will live, and you will never be destroyed. And Father, I ask that you give us the clarity of this world, not only just that the world wants to pull us away and distract us and put us into the selfish desires that we want, but Father, that we turn from those things and we see potential, we see lost souls that are out in this world that we can reach out to and we can, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will move us and you will change us so that people and souls will be saved and worship your name at the end of the day. And Father, I pray not just for this church, but Father, every church in America, that they will stand on the truth. They will stand on the word of God. They will not lie. They will not pick bits and pieces from the Bible, but they will stand on its entirety. And that, Father, that we start living and showing what you really look like. So Father, no matter if it's here in Ormond Beach, or wherever we're at watching online, or Father, if we're going over to Africa. Father, I say, Lord, don't bless our ministries because it's not our ministry. Father, we cry out to you and say, Lord, bless your ministry and just move in us so that we can work for your ways, for your glory, and show us your ways, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.